Good morning. Good to be here, amen. It's good to be just about anywhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I was reading through this part of the New Testament earlier this week, and this passage just stuck out to me. And I thought I'd share it with you this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. A little background. 1 Corinthians, that book. In fact, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he was writing to one of the most gifted churches in all of the New Testament. But they were also one of the most problematic churches. In fact, 1 Corinthians could be called a corrective epistle or letter. These Corinthian Christians lived by pretense. They thought themselves, very carefully, listen, they thought themselves to be what they were not. They were not godly, though they thought they were. They were not surrendered, though they thought they were. They were, in fact, low on Christian character. How do we know that? Well, let me just give you a few verses. In chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul tells us, in fact, says to this church that they're contentious. There's a climate of contention and arguing and disharmony in the church. In chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, he tells them that they are fragmented. The church is in these struggle and warfare between each other. Chapter 3 and verse 1, he tells them they're carnal. That would be equivalent to the saying they were backslidden. Chapter 3 and verse 2, they were immature, he told them. Chapter 4 and verse 7, he tells them that they are absorbed, self-absorbed, prideful, arrogant. Then in chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, told them they wore a mask. They covered their true identity. Then in chapter 4 and verse 9, he contrasts the apostles with the Corinthians. He tells them up to chapter 4 and verse 8 what they were, how they lived, how far away really from God they were, though they were the most gifted church. You can have gifts from God and still be away from God. You can have what seems to be or appears to be a godly life when in reality it is not. So that brings me to a question. What kind of Christian are we? What are we really like? What would be the real answer? And I package that question in this thought. Is your life a facade? Or is it a spectacle? First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 through 13. Let me read these verses. Now, he says, after saying all the things he said about them, he says, now ye are full. He's not telling them they're great. He's saying, this is how you appear. Now you're full. Now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles. Here's the contrast. Last. That word last means the lowest. As it were appointed to death. And by the way, every single one of the apostles was put to death but one, John. All the others died at the hands of godless men. Peter was crucified upside down because he refused to be crucified the way Christ was. He didn't feel himself worthy of that. Timothy was thrust through with darts. James, John's brother, was beheaded. Christ stood with Paul for all those years, and in the last few moments of Paul's life, he knelt before the Caesar, the emperor of Rome, and they severed his head from his body. He says, I think that God hath set forth the apostles last in the least way, as it were appointed to death for, here's why, we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. Now when he says unto the world, he's talking about the world and it's the position of the world in general, philosophic, sociological, religiously. Remember now, they were under Roman rule this time. The Romans had many gods and they worshiped them. And anybody who did not worship them that was in the Roman government was considered a traitor to Rome. Here's why. Caesar, the word Caesar means God. They viewed Caesar as God. To be against the Roman religion would be to be against Caesar. To have your own religious views would be against Caesar. And the worldview there was a philosophic view that worshiped many gods, was morally corrupt, was filled with only things that they thought were pleasurable. And some of the things they thought were pleasurable were beyond indecent. They were filthy. That was the philosophic bent of the age that they were in Rome. So they were made a spectacle to this philosophic view because they were anything but that way, the apostles. The Corinthians were, of course, saved out of that Corinthian lifestyle. To be even in Rome, to be called a Corinthian was like saying, man, if you want to know somebody that's really wild, really morally decadent, look at the Corinthians. So they were considered the most immoral of that time, and yet they were saved out of that, the Corinthian Christians were. So they had a responsibility to do what? Look different, act different, walk different, talk different, be different. But they weren't. So the apostles are contrasted with the lack of that kind of steadfastness that the Corinthians did not have. So he said, we are appointed unto death, we are made a spectacle unto the world, their philosophic bent, and to angels. Do you realize the angels are watching you? They're watching God's church. They watched out when Christ died. They saw him die on the cross. They could not believe what they were saying. That the holy God of heaven would die on the cross for the sins of man in the person of his son. They viewed Peter's life as he walked with Christ, then as he denied him, then as he came back to him and became one of the great stalwarts of the faith, used by God to write two precious books in the Bible. Paul, 13 books. One who put to death Christians, saved out of that lifestyle, became a standard for what Christianity looked like, walked like, talked like, acted like. These apostles were made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and then to men. Men could not, there, individual, could not conceive a person who would live the way Paul lived, would endure what Paul endured, would walk through what Paul walked through, would suffer the way Paul suffered, and not give up this, what they've considered a false religion, but stayed tied to Christ in the worst of circumstances. You know what's easy? It's easy for us to play the game, to give an appearance, to know the rhetoric of the faith, and yet be completely uncommitted, a nominal Christian. You contrast the Corinthians with the apostles, and it's evident that there is a vast difference between a facade and a spectacle. By the word facade, well, the word facade has two meanings. It means, you've used it this way, the outside finish of a building or house. Our outside finish is our facade. It's different than what looks like in here. So the facade outside gives a view that may be different than the view here. The second definition of facade is the appearance that is maintained to hide a less credible reality. Now, I've driven by buildings and said, man, those, look at that. And then you go inside and you go, holy moly. You know, in Hollywood sets, if you've ever seen a Hollywood set, the outside looks great, but inside there's nothing there. It's hollow. Sometimes there's just backdrops holding it together. So a facade in this condition, in what we're trying to say here, is maintained to give an appearance that hides a less credible position. And there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Christians who do that. It's, what do you like on Sunday? You're here. You're in church. People saw you come and go. What do you like on Monday? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What are you like? Is this just a facade? Are we just giving the appearance? That's what the Corinthians were doing. And Paul said, you're different than the apostles. God made us a spectacle. Let me give you three thoughts. A spectacle is, according to our passage, a spectacle is vulnerable. It says in chapter 4, in verse number 9, for I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last. Set forth. Underline that little word, set forth. Because it means to put on display. When you are a spectacle, you are in open view of the rest of the world. You are put on display, set forth. They were open to criticism, persecution, personal attack, misunderstanding, imprisonment, even death. They were considered the lower class. In fact, because of their religious position, a true Christian in this time could not own many of the things that were owned by others. They weren't afforded that. Sometimes they couldn't even get hired. And yet they stood. And the apostles were those kind of men. God set them forth. Has the same thought of when the Bible says, no man hath seen God at any time. Chapter 1 and verse 18, can you think of John? No man hath seen God at any time. The only beloved which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. God set him forth. God put him in full display. God let him live out a life that pictured to every human being what the Father was like. That word declared has a similar meaning as set forth here. God is declaring this is what real Christianity is, and it didn't taste well to the world. It didn't look right to the world. It was opposed by the world. They were open in view. This word spectacle is an interesting word. It's a military parade word. It was used to describe the Roman army marching back to Rome, who had just defeated a foe. And they were bringing back now the things they won in that war, slaves, riches. And they marched in to Rome in a parade-like style, and people just went crazy. They applauded them. That was a spectacle. But the word came to be known or tied to something else, and that's what Paul was referring to here. It was used as a description of the last of three events on a special day that took place in the Colosseum. It was called the Meridian Bestiary. And it was in three phases. The first, men fought between themselves with weapons, killed each other. This went on for hours. It's a whole day event. The second, after they cleaned up the arena, the second event was those that were still breathing, still alive. They could have been wounded mortally, but still could fight and would have to. They fought then not with other men, but against beasts, bestiary. They fought against lions and tigers, wild. They'd starve them for days. Hyenas. They'd just come in and rip these people to shreds. The third part of this day was reserved for those who were by Rome considered the worst of the worst of the worst. They were convicted of crimes against the Roman state. Paul was convicted of a crime against the Roman state. Peter was convicted of a crime against the Roman state. All the apostles were convicted of crimes against the Roman state. What are you saying, Pastor? It was a religious position they held that made their king not Caesar, but their king Jesus. And they lived that out day after day after day after day and were persecuted for it, thrown in prison for it, beaten for it, left for dead for it, persecuted. They broke the rules. And these people were stripped of all their clothing and placed in the arena, the Colosseum, with lions, tigers, hyenas, leopards. This was the Meridian Bestiary, the last of the spectacle. And people by the thousands came to it. How many have ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? I want to recommend to you that book, but it's hard to read. There's a little girl, 16 years of age, called Blandina, that is talked about in Fox's Book of Martyrs. She was a servant girl of a very rich Roman citizen who was a secret believer. This Blandina was caught worshiping God, just like today. She was taken into custody and tortured. She was racked. Tie your hands to a cable here, tie your feet to a cable there, and then wind it tight. They did that, dislocated all the bones, and sometimes they reset the dislocations so that they could do it again the next day. They did a knife torture where they pierced her all over her body with knives. How many heard of a thumb screw? They do it to all her fingers. It screwed down tight and literally popped the nail out of the finger. They would want her to recant, want her to tell, want her to deny, and she did not. All she said was, "We believe in Christ, and we just want you to believe." How could somebody who's being tortured look up at those torturers and say, "I love you"? She was taken to the bestiary, tied to a post, and eventually the lions and the tigers and the hyenas fed on her. She died for her faith. That was the Meridian bestiary. And when Paul says the apostles were made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and unto men, no wonder he said we are appointed to death. Because though they may not have taken place in the bestiary, what happened to them was very much like what took place in the bestiary. They were considered deniers of the Roman faith, traitors to the Roman government, insurrectionists, guilty of the worst crimes, and the apostles, appointed unto death, were made by God a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. They were visible. They were seen. You didn't have to wonder what they believed. You didn't have to wonder who they were. You didn't have to wonder who they were following. They stood out. They were set forth. They were visible. Secondly, according to our passage, a spectacle is verifiable. The Bible says, "For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made," they're verifiable. Word "made" means they looked this way, they acted this way, and they were made a spectacle to the world and to angels, to men. They were verifiable. You didn't have to guess what they believed. You didn't have to wonder if they were or weren't. You never thought of them as playing a game. They were verifiable. What brings a person to such an incredible lifestyle dynamic? Christ not only saved these apostles, but he changed them. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In fact, he not only saved them and changed them, but the reality of them was so real that they realized that they could never, never be the same again. They could not be turned. They could not be changed. They stood. Chapter 4, verse 9, we've read. Chapter 4 and verse 11. Even unto this present hour, listen to what he says. We both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. You like that? Verse 12 says, and we labor, working with our hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. There's a big difference between what real Christianity is, a spectacle, and the facade that hangs over so much of what we call Christianity today. There's just a wide chasm between them. I've told you this before, but it bears repeating here. After the Chinese took over China, the communist Chinese, and ran General Chiang Kai-shek out of China to Formosa, the persecution was in high state. Many missionaries never got out of China. They were put to death. Chinese nationals who became believers were tortured. Many of them were put on long marches. And if they did not keep up, they were killed along the way. And some of these marches were end up at the Great Wall of China. And as these people were walked to the Great Wall to have their heads severed from their bodies and stacked one atop another on that wall, they sang, "How good is the God we adore," an old English hymn. She's really in trouble. It's all right, honey. You didn't do it, so now we can't blame you. But if it's one of our daughters, we'll kill them at the end of the day. Huh? Oh. They sang, "How good is the God we adore," an old English hymn. It says, "How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend. His love is as great as its power and knows neither measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose spirit will guide us safe home. We'll love him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come." They didn't scream and yell. They didn't plead. They weren't lion-like, they were lamb-like. As they gave their life for the very person that saved them from their sin, they thought of it as a gift of God and as an honor to die for him They were a spectacle. They were visible. They were a spectacle. They were verifiable. Then lastly, a spectacle is vulnerable. Write that down. They don't hide who they are. Amen? And when you don't hide who you are, you're open to what? Persecution. You remember, and Paul's a great illustration of this. You remember when Paul was taken into custody for preaching? And he preached so hard that the people turned from their religious worship of Diana, a Roman god. And men earned their living by making idols out of wood and brass and other things of this Diana. Well, so many people in that region turned to Christ. These guys lost their livelihood. And it ticked them off. They went to the Roman government and said, hey, you got to get these guys out of here. They're ruining our living. And they did. And they threw them in prison. But before they ever took them there, they grabbed him because Paul was about ready. They were about ready to tear Paul into pieces, literally. When they got him free, the Roman centurion and the guards got him free from those people. He was a little ways away, and he said, just a minute. So they paused. He turned around and started preaching again. Yeah. Started telling them about Christ. After that happened to me, I would have said, mum's the word. But Paul was a spectacle. He turned right around and said, well, let me tell you one more thing. God of heaven, give us that kind of courage and strength that we might be spectacles unto the world, unto angels, and unto men. Are we a facade or are we a spectacle? And there's a big difference. God help us. Help us to be what you made us to be. Lights shining in darkness. A candle that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. And Father, though it may make us vulnerable and it'll verify us, and we will be a visible token of what it means to love the Redeemer, the one who died for our sins. He did so much for us. God help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.